We're here,
and we're live.
We are live.
We are alive and live.
Yes,
at the same time
and live.
Don't worry, we're live.
We are alive and
once again.
How many times are we going to say alive?
I don't know, until we're dead.
All of the times.
I'll keep saying it as much as I want to, but I don't want to say it anymore.
Don't say it anymore. Nope.
Welcome to Hope This Helps. We don't say that word anymore.
I don't even know what word we're not saying anymore, but okay.
It feels really good. One of the symptoms of coronavirus is forgetting what that word is. Sorry.
All I read in the show notes is you lazy.
Yep, we're going there. I was going to save that for later. But...
No, you can, but that was the first thing I read.
Okay, I'll give context to that later. Coming soon.
Coming soon.
Yeah.
You lazy.
Yeah, but it will be coming up because I have a real good explanation for that because we have a website now, officially.
We do.
It's been a joint effort because, Tiff, you actually figured out how to set up the damn thing, and I know HTML.
You have run the kite or whatever people say that is motivational and nice.
Run the table? Run the gamut? Run the gauntlet?
I don't know. Something, words are hard.
Yeah, I'm just going to say words. I thought one of those three phrases is correct. I don't know which one it is.
Yeah. So in case you don't know, if you work in IT, the past 2 weeks have probably been hell.
Oh, really? They've been lovely. I don't know about you. This has been the best.
Well, you're on vacation. No, you're
not.
No,
I'm not on vacation.
No. But you might as well be. You're basically in the vacation IT world.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a vacation, but, you know, life's not too hard either at the same time, so.
No.
Let's just say I can do the same work. I can do the same work that I could normally at home, so.
I can also do the same work normally. I haven't been deemed an essential employee because I don't actually have to go anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm essential or not. I just haven't asked that question, and I don't really care what the answer is.
No, all my stuff is in the cloud. So unless I have to like go to the cloud, am I technically essential? I had this really intrinsic thought I started going down this deep path of what is essential.
What is essential in the year 2020 in the COVID era? What do we call essential in the age of the cloud? So if you have...
Because is it like a double... Am I double essential? Because I work in biotech and am also IT?
That sounds pretty essential to me. That sounds like two things that if they just went poof, we would not do well.
But is that like double essential? Do I get like two times the essential?
You get too essential. You are too essential of a person.
I am too essential to quit.
There you go. Yeah. Congratulations, essential person.
I don't want to be essential. No. So this is what happens when Steve and Tiffany spend 2 weeks at home.
How long have we been working from home? Has it been two
Has
weeks?
It only... I don't know. We can have. No, it's been about 2 weeks.
I think what brings me comfort, though, is like literally the rest of the planet's also grappling with the problems like we have. Like, what time do I wake up in the morning? Am I wearing pants right now? What day is it?
The what day is it the most confusing, and also the time.
The time, the day, on the week, when in the weekend starts and stops, when I should start and stop working.
Working 16-hour days is also a lot easier.
When you get bored, you start working to not be bored. This world is literally turned upside down. Somehow working has brought us joy when it really should not ever do such a thing.
And now to all the people who have ever told me, Tiff, don't get obsessed with work. Don't make work your hobby. And now I'm like,
don't make work your life. Leave your work at work.
And now I'm like, my work is my home, and my home is my work.
I got news for you. Everyone has suddenly been thrown into the working world, whether they like it or not.
Right. We all work at home now. Our homes are now work.
It's the perfect... Deal with it. It's the perfect plan executed flawlessly.
I don't know, Pinky. What are we going to do tonight?
I found... And it's so hard to, like, not think about it too. There's very few things in this house that kind of get me off of work, because everything, like every podcast I listen to, is like work related right now, or it's like having to do with the reasons we're working from home. And like, I don't know, I've been playing a lot of Mario Kart. That's not work-related in any capacity.
No, it is not work-related in any capacity at all.
And then I'll probably rearrange furniture in my bedroom or something. But it's the little things that keep you distracted. I've also, I don't know, maybe this is how Bill Gates became a philanthropist, but I've also started, I've been dabbling around in folding at home, where I've been started installing it on the most powerful computers in my house, and I've just been running it.
Wow.
So it's been running, a couple of days it's been running on several computers in here, and it is satisfying. I don't know if I'm going to be as satisfied once the electric bill comes in for this month, in a couple of weeks, but it feels like I'm doing something. And
it's like Bitcoin, only hopefully you'll get the satisfaction of knowing you saved people.
Right, instead of mining coins, you're mining cures for COVID.
Right.
At least I think I'm mining cures for COVID, because when I read the instructions for folding at home, it says download the client and run it and set the configuration to any disease, which apparently on the back end will be prioritized towards the components that are being researched to come up with a vaccine or cure for COVID-19. So I do that, and then it tells me when you get a work group assignment, it tells you what disease that you're folding a protein for, or what group you're in, and what you're contributing towards. And the one I'm currently doing is for like a cancer component of some kind, but I'm not entirely sure if it's because they're offloading an unrelated piece of work to my computer so they could do the COVID computations, or if the thing that my computer's work group is working on is actually related to COVID-19 or something. I guess I'm just really confused as to how it works, because the instructions kind of said one thing, but the actual program is telling me something else.
That is really bizarre. I haven't yet installed it.
It's really simple to install, luckily. The only thing I noticed that, I mean, it kind of makes sense. You kind of know what you're signing up for when you're walking into this, but when you install it, you might want to disable it from starting up with your computer. That's the only thing. You can set it, and by default, I don't remember if it's set to only work when idle, but if you forget about it after you install it and it's set to start up, you might find that your computer might be doing a lot of excess folding when you might not be expecting it to.
So did you fold as anonymous, or did you fold as yourself?
So it doesn't really have you make an account. It has you configure an identity. You can set a passkey, which can link multiple computers into one like lump sum identity, and you can assign yourself to a group ID if you want to join a group, or you can just be in a kind of a generalized anonymous queue. And so I did make a common identity for the three computers I installed it on, and I set the passkey as the same on all three. But I'm not sure if they're actually linked, because the rewards points on all of them don't seem to be syncing with each other.
Oh, how do you join a team?
There are teams listed on the website. So I think, for example, there was a Linus Tech Tips team. I tried searching for a bunch of local companies, but I couldn't really find any. And I couldn't figure out how to create a team. So I don't know. I kind of went over 2 on both of those. I guess you can just kind of join any team. I don't think there's any prerequisite to joining any of them. So I guess if you really want to join a team or something, you can. But you can also just do it without configuring any of that if you truly want to.
Right.
And also, a word to the wise, if you are running this application, there are 3 intensity settings for folding. There's low, medium, and high. And I discovered, so my desktop is connected to a UPS. I first ran it at the medium setting, and my UPS was very unhappy with me as soon as I hit that start folding button. It just kind of started sending me spam emails every 5 minutes telling me my battery capacity was normal. And I thought, okay, if the UPS is sending me an email telling me the capacity is normal when it's never sent me this email before, something tells me that it is not quite right. And I looked at my UPS software's readouts, and it said that it had basically 1 minute of battery life remaining, when it normally would say 15 under a normal load. So I think that it was actually sapping the UPS's battery with all that extra power draw. So when I turned it down to low, that seemed to fix all of it. But you got to be careful if you're running a folding at home and you have a UPS attached to your computer and you have it plugged into one of the battery plugs. So just bear in mind on the power draw, and it is quite a bit of consumption.
Oh wow. Yeah. No, I would definitely, those are good to knows.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. It made total sense to me, but it just kind of scared me a bit at first. And I also was wondering if it was going to burn down the house or not. Cause I was like, I don't know if I've ever pushed my computer quite this hard before. I mean, I'm sure like with gaming and stuff that happens, but that's kind of during a short burst and you know when to turn that off. It's like, if you're going to run it at night knowingly, it's just kind of, it kind of jars the nerves a little bit at first.
Definitely.
But it does feel good to do it. I had one laptop that would refuse to really run it, and I'm not sure why. I kept looking at the logs, and basically said I had no assignments for it, and kind of I fiddled around with the settings, tried rebooting, reinstalling, and I just couldn't get the client to really start working on an assignment. So that's also kind of odd. It seemed to prefer desktops over laptops, even though I'm pretty sure it would work on laptops, but I don't know. It's an odd application in terms of what telling you what it's currently doing. It's a little strange, but I mean it's not terrible at the same time. But folding at home, it's, if you're stuck at home and you want to feel like you're doing something to help this whole mess, maybe download it and run it if you can stomach the electric bill.
Woo!
Yeah, so that's folding at home.
All in a day's work.
Sometimes multiple days works.
That's very true.
Yeah. So we actually had an Apple. We had Apple announcements this week, believe it or not.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So Apple announced some new iPad Pros, and they finally, a new MacBook Air with a fixed keyboard to match the new the scissor switch style of the previously announced 16-inch MacBook Pro. But that was kind of the those were almost like the sideline announcements. Some of the main announcements that Apple put out was they are releasing a brand new keyboard for the iPad Pro, as well as a trackpad. Yeah, trackpad. Remember all those times that Apple said that touchscreen laptops were dumb and how the iPad is good enough as it is? And I guess maybe if you ever need a Bluetooth keyboard, you can connect a Bluetooth keyboard, and trackpads are for laptops without touchscreens. Well, yes. New from Apple in 2020, laptop parts for the iPad in their entirety.
Really?
Yeah, I am not making this up.
Wait, I can't choose my disease. Well, I can, but I only have Alzheimer's, cancer, Huntington, and Parkinson's.
Yep, exactly. So if you want to target COVID, you have to pick all diseases. That was what the instructions said. They don't have a COVID setting, but they basically overrode the all diseases setting to prioritize COVID.
So the any disease?
Yep, the any is the COVIDs right now.
So how can I see what I'm doing?
It's a little slow to start. And also after you install it, it'll put into your start menu folding at home programs. And one is FAH control, I think. And that gives you a more technical readout, and it can give you a protein folding visualization and stuff.
Cool. I figured it out.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
Yeah. I would not recommend running it if you're doing other things on your desktop, though. That's all. Or just set it to the idle setting, so it'll only kick in when you're not doing much or detects that you're not doing much. It's fun stuff.
I want to fold all the proteins.
Mm-hmm. And it will if you let it.
Yes.
But
so wait, it was the FAH viewer or control?
FA control, I think, or FH control.
Okay.
It ends in control. I forget what it's called.
All right. I think I have it under control now.
There you go. Perfect.
Mostly.
It's under control.
This is awesome.
There's a lot of stuff I don't understand in there, but, you know. Science and things. So anyway, so getting back to the iPad stuff. So iOS is getting updates to basically support the trackpad, which was previously just an accessibility feature. And now it's becoming like a formal, like actual mouse, but not really a mouse. It's going to be like a mouse that snaps to controls kind of feature for the trackpad. And it comes off to me as kind of like a crappier version of the Surface. It's like, great, you now have the hardware, which is what we were asking for all this time, but now like iOS still is only half-heartedly supporting it. We don't have a true desktop environment or windowed environment. We're still kind of doing all these half steps, and it's not really satisfying anybody at this point. It's like the power users are just going WTF, and the standard users are going, why do I need this? So I think it's kind of muddied advertising and muddied, just Apple was so stubborn about it for so long, and now just doing the 180 on it, it just kind of makes everyone come out kind of looking bad on Apple's part. Personally, that's my thought about it.
Yeah, because they were so gung-ho about their whole stance on it was so ridiculous to begin
with. For years now, up to a decade, I've been told how, no, we don't need touchscreens on laptops. You'll get the gorilla arm. You need to chisel your fingers down if you want to use it. You either hold the tablet and you use your fingers, or you're using a laptop and you're not touching the screen. And now we just have both. And in the meantime, they keep updating and releasing MacBooks, which don't have touchscreens, but they have keyboards and trackpads. And what is the point of this again? Like, just merge them properly.
Right.
And just stop confusing the customers. Stop confusing the whole ecosystem. Do what Microsoft did. Like, just make the single product, make the single good product. Sorry.
Yeah, that's so frustrating. No. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that develops. It's funny how the rumors all just lined up and this is just happening. So I think iOS still needs major, major overhauls and improvements to make this work. It basically needs to be macOS at this point. Like, I don't see the point of iOS existing anymore if we're going to continue this tiptoe towards the merger of iOS and macOS. And then the constant denial of, no, these are totally separate products, even though they're basically the same on paper now with the hardware. So
yeah, it's getting less and less computery,
or more and more computery.
I don't know anymore. I don't know.
The marketing also doesn't help, because we had the What's a Computer What's a Computer commercial, and then Apple's latest ad is called How to Properly Use a Computer, and it's like,
oh my. So they're trying to go back to their 2009, their circa 2009 Apple, but not giving us circa 2009 Apple.
Yeah, it's just, there's no consistency. The message keeps flip-flopping, and the marketing department's just really confused as to what a computer actually is. So I guess
Johnny Ives knows.
Clap, clap, Apple, but I don't know. Get it together, I guess.
The lights apparently are not on anymore.
Yeah. And I guess now they have Becky with the good hair, which is MacBook Air with the good keyboard. That was a reference that I was not aware of until Jen told me about it.
But yeah, why would they do that?
I don't know. The keyboard replacement was totally, totally necessary, but it's like, why would you?
Oh, they needed to.
It's kind of like, why would you upstage your own product or cannibalize it like this?
I agree.
Strange. I would just release a MacBook Air with a touchscreen at this point.
I have not seen the new keyboard, so.
I mean, I've used it in the store on the 16-inch. It's good. You know, it's what the keyboard should be. It's like, just think the old MacBook keyboards. That's what it is. It's just a return to the good keyboard.
That keyboard was so good. The old one.
Yeah. No, it feels good to use. And it's especially apparent if you use it side by side in the store, where they literally have the crappy model next to the good model.
Ooh. So wait, they even compare how bad the old one is? Here, don't buy this one. It's garbage.
Yeah, it's really weird how they have them side by side. And that's how you can tell. You can be your own salesperson in front of the Apple employees, who be like, hey, you see this one? You see how the keyboard feels like it got run over by a steamroller, and then you use this other one where it actually feels good to use? Yeah, I get the one that feels good to use.
That one.
Yeah, so that's my
ooh.
Yeah, so that's the state of Apple. That's what got announced. I'm sure there was originally going to be an event for this, but obviously they had to just dump it to the website and just call it a day, when just do some marketing videos with Craig Federighi and call it a day. Anyways, so that's our Apple-a-thon of the day.
Let's
go on to something a little more interesting and important. Microsoft has disclosed a new security vulnerability that has to do with Adobe. So, and we can definitely blame Adobe for this. It has to do with the Adobe font something to do with the font library in the Windows OS that calls upon Adobe in some way. And effectively, as of yesterday, I could be wrong because this moves at a mile a minute some days. There is no patch for them at the moment, or maybe if there is, it's probably in preview. But currently the workaround is you need to rename atmfd.dll and or disable the preview pane in File Explorer to fully mitigate this threat. It's kind of an interesting, it's one of those things that's like deeply rooted into the operating system. So you have to do weird things to disable it, including disable some features you may use. So that's the current state of things. I'm sure it'll be patched out soon, but it's kind of a, it was marked as critical, and it kind of lit up all the tech news avenues this week. So I figured it was noteworthy to at least touch upon it and say, hey, blame Adobe as usual. And then lastly, in my random to-do list of topics today is, Azure in the UK, and I guess later on in the US, kind of had capacity issues, which I think is kind of funny. Microsoft Azure basically ran out of resources to run people's stuff, and in a rather amusing incident, folks were just reporting that they couldn't spin up VMs, or if you spun them down, you couldn't spin them back up. And everyone basically complained that Azure was not up to the task. And quote unquote, Azure was full. The cloud has too many clouds in it. There's too much rain. It's storming.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. It clearly wasn't a global issue, because I was asking around and some folks just, they didn't even know about it, but others did. So it is what it is, but you know, it kind of makes you rethink this whole cloud thing. Like, this is, at this point, the cloud is being stretched to almost its maximum theoretical limit. Everyone's working from home. Mm-hmm. This is probably the, at least for quite a long time, hopefully, this will be the most that remote work and cloud computing is utilized in a single situation globally, due to unforeseen circumstances that have forced us into the situation. And if we see services running at this capacity, not able to deliver what has been promised, that kind of makes you start wondering, is this service really a good fit? Should I be moving to something else? Should I be investing in on-premise again? Can I do it better than them? Because they clearly cannot handle my infrastructure along with everybody else's.
Right. Because then you would be only solely focusing on your own.
Right. Like, I don't know. I've always been a cloud skeptic. I never really was fully, I didn't drink the Kool-Aid at the cloud. I wasn't really fooled by the smoke and mirrors of, oh, it'll solve all your problems. There'll never be downtime ever. Wink, wink. And right. We know it better than you. Oh, all that maintenance that you would normally do. Oh, we'll do it for you. We'll tell you when we change things and everything. A lot of those promises have really crumbled, and now it's like the cream of the crop, the uptime promise, the capacity and scale, and that's always on all the brilliant marketing and splash pages that get presented at like C-level presentations. That is now fallen, and things like this makes you really wonder. And what I kind of honestly think is going to probably become a part of a cycle, kind of like how mainframes and servers and cloud and on-prem. I think it's just going to be cyclical. I think this is just going to be the endless circle of people get bamboozled into sending everything up, and then we're just going to bring it all back down. So I think it's going to be a never-ending lesson that we learn and unlearn.
Oh, for sure. And really, truly, the cloud does offer a lot of benefits and can do a ton of stuff, but you do lose all of that control. So when you do have a massive, massive outage, like what happened, you can't do anything about it as your company is trying to tirelessly get back online to keep supporting its customer base.
Right. And then you're on the phone with the provider and they go, oh, well, you're not a high priority customer. And we go, excuse me, what? Like, I am a business. You cannot say no to a paying business that, you know... It's that you get into arguments like that.
Right. And it makes you almost wonder, who is a high priority business then?
Right.
How do you get on that list? What do I need to do to get on that list?
When your business is competing with all the other businesses for priority under the umbrella of a cloud service like this, then it starts getting really interesting. It's like, well, it's just literally a competition of the companies at this point.
Yep. It's like, which company, though? But they don't tell you who you're competing with, so you don't even know who your competitor is.
Right. Yeah, because they're naturally not going to tell you which company they're gonna take back up first. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, we're gonna put BAE up before you, or we're gonna put up I don't know, Fleet Feet or McDonald's up before you, something like that.
Right. So you can't even like Tanya Harding your no. your way out of it because you don't even know who it is.
No, it's just anybody.
of all the people I could have used, it was a 1990s figure skater.
Mm. Was she the one who kneecapped the guy, or she got kneecapped, or am I thinking of someone else?
Tanya Harding is the one who basically cut Nancy Kerrigan's like muscle, so she couldn't ice skate anymore.
Yeah. This I think we're thinking of the same person. It was she.
Yeah, her and her boyfriend did it.
Yeah, she hired someone to club her in the kneecaps or club someone in the kneecaps. It's a
yeah, Nancy Kerrigan.
Weird Al wrote a song about it called Headline News. Oh. That's how I know this.
You get all your news from Weird Al.
Yeah, don't you?
Maybe
I thought so.
Okay, is that who writes our podcast now? Weird Al Yankovic.
I'm okay with that.
That would be something.
That would be
if Weird Al did write. Yeah. What would he call it? No, he would leave it as Hope This Helps.
Yeah. No, he would have thought that was a good idea. He would have kept it as that.
It would be a crazy white boy polka.
Yes. the Hope This Helps polka.
The Hope This Helps polka.
He could help us write a song, maybe.
Yes. The Hope This Helps polka.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. It is only Wednesday, everyone.
Oh, yeah, Wednesday. Don't worry. Wednesday is the start of WTF. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Throat Punch Thursday is coming back, guys.
Yep.
Steel cage match.
Ooh. So, speaking of transitioning into days, so tell me more about how when you had a bout of no sleep, you dove into GitHub pages and somehow ended up installing an entire Linux subsystem to get this website of ours up.
No sleep till!
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, that happened. So it was in my tireless last week of just working 16-hour days. There was one night I just couldn't sleep, so I decided to make a website, hthpc.com. That is not a plug, but hthpc.com. hthpc.com, everyone. So I found a whole bunch of documentation, which I have to say that Git Pages is one of the best documented anything I have ever seen. So now I'm like looking into how to install via Jinx. So of course it's like, now you have to install a Linux subsystem. And that's when I got really distracted and started playing around with installing Ubuntu via the subsystem.
See, now you know how it feels. When you get into Linux, you get pulled in.
So I spent a solid 3 hours doing something that was totally unrelated and unnecessary, because Git Pages had templates built into it the entire time, and I did not need to do any of that. But it was fun.
No, it was, not only was it fun, you did figure it out, and now we are running, basically, the website is running out of a GitHub repository with the coupler being GitHub Pages, and now we do have a fully functional website because I was able to dig out about a decade old knowledge of HTML5 with a template that I built about a decade ago, and then just kind of spruce it up a bit, and using the knowledge that I had with GitHub for PowerShell and, you know, the basic structure of, you know, committing, pushing, pulling, editing, version control, and all that, I was able to leverage that to then get the website up and running. So it's been a team effort.
Yeah. Git Pages admittedly was, and maybe it was just insomnia that makes me a smarter person, I don't know, but I felt like it was a fairly straightforward process and it wasn't too challenging.
Yeah, it really isn't.
And in my sleep-deprived mind, I honestly laughed at the fact that our domain name was an Apex domain for about 20 minutes. I was like, I literally thought of like a tiger pouncing, like an apex cat. It was just like a terrible insomnia-ridden life I was living.
I'd say it was productive, though.
It was very productive. I woke up, and I was like, hey, Steve, I built a website last night.
Yeah, and I was like, what? And then you gave me the URL, and it's like, oh, we have a website now.
Yeah, no, the hardest part was getting DNS to cooperate.
Yeah, but like you said, it probably just took a little... You were kind of frustrated at first that it didn't seem like it was working, but then it suddenly just started working the next morning, so it probably just took time.
All Steve did was open it, and he's like, it's working, and I was like, ah!
Yeah, and then...
It was not...
And then... Yeah, then you gave me the login. I added my own GitHub account as a collaborator, and then I was able to push a test HTML page to it. I was like, oh my God, it really is this easy. So that was just when I went to town. I was like, well, I know the rest from here. It's just straight HTML from here.
And that's hthpc.com.
Yes, hthpc.com. I've been pulling in all of our show notes from all of the past episodes. There's pages for About Us. We have a Code Snippets page. We have a blog page. And we have a live page. So if you don't really like all the gobbledygook that Twitch puts on the live stream that, you know, that advertises a million other channels and a bunch of other stuff you don't really care about on Twitch, we now have a dedicated page on our website which embeds our live stream into it. As well as, you know, past easy ways to view our past episodes and view show notes with expanded show notes too. And I explored that where last episode I discussed the Raspberry Pi Open Media Vault Plex installation, and I've actually put detailed installation instructions pulled from my own notes for how to install it, as well as links to necessary software you need to download and run the thing and get it all set up. And it's really easy, and it's on our website.
We should have blogs coming soon as well.
Yes.
Because we do talk about tech all day.
We do.
And we have so much stuff we can share.
We do. I have a dummy page up for blogs right now, and I don't remember if I've showed you this, how to do this yet, Tiff, but it'll be really easy to add, and we can just go to town and blog things. And there's code snippets too. I have in my own to-do list, I want to add a couple PowerShell things that I talked about in maybe episodes like 3, 4, 5, or 6. I forget which of those or if it was all of them. But little things I touched upon here and there, I should really go back and probably add those in as downloadable things. Since the website is a GitHub repository, we can just introduce a folder where we just contain the code and we can just say, hey, go download it. It's on GitHub.
Yay. Yeah. We're trying to make it super easy for everyone. We understand.
It is super easy, and we're just, yeah, and GitHub just makes it really versatile for us.
Yep.
We're over the hump of how do we even get this set up, and now we're in the operationalized version of it.
We are actually doing stuff.
I'm proud, because I don't usually do stuff.
No, this is a huge step for us.
Mm-hmm.
I had someone actually say, hey, Tiff, you've done 10 episodes already? That is impressive for you. And I was like, I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But
I was gonna say, I don't know if that's that was supposed to be like a slight or if that's like a compliment or. But.
No, I think it was supposed to be a compliment. And I was like, wow, this is the most consistent thing I've ever done.
Yeah. Well, I can also say I've never done 10 episodes of a podcast before, so I'm feeling just as accomplished right here.
And this is numero 11.
I have never done audio stuff like this before, other than when I was in college. I was a radio DJ on some days, just as a volunteer for the college radio station. But I barely did anything. I didn't get on the mic other than for maybe like one ad ID that I had to read as part of an obligation. Other than that, I was just like putting the vinyl on the turntable or the CD in the slot or the tape in the deck. But this is the first real speaking podcasty thing that I've done that's been episodic, and we're up to episode 11, so look at that.
Yeah, and we do tend to get better with time.
Yeah,
we're like a fine wine.
We're a fine wine that has aged 10 weeks.
10 weeks.
This wine has legs, as I was recently shown or informed of, that's a thing with wine where you drink wine and then you have to turn the glass and you look at the bottom of it and you check if there's streaks at the bottom, and that's called legs. And if it has legs, it's good. And if it doesn't, it's trash.
Oh, I didn't know you had to look for legs.
Yeah, it was a really strange phenomenon. And well, this is a topic I kind of want to save for when we get to it. But we had a virtual happy hour at work, and that was when it was conveyed to me. So I'm like standing there on the camera. I'm like, what? Like, what, do I have to chug this? Like, is it just a sip? What do you mean see the bottom? And I'm tilting it. I'm literally doing this on the webcam. Like, I'm going to get it wine all over my damn desk at this point. But yeah, no, now I know what it, now I know what you have to precisely do to figure that out. But it turns out the wine I was drinking was trash because there were no quote-unquote legs on this wine. But whatever. It was what wine.
What kind of wine was it?
I think it was like $8 market basket wine.
Okay.
It was COVID wine. I get what I can get.
COVID wine. We're going to start just making our own moonshine at this point.
COVID Sauvignon. Vintage February 2020.
Barefoot.
Barefoot without any filtration or anything.
COVID barefoot.
How do you think wine is made in the COVID era where people are doing the barefoot thing? I would not trust that.
Ooh, your wine comes with COVID-19.
It's just printed on the bottle. It's not even, yeah. You're not even hiding it. You know what you're no. getting.
No. Like, you're buying it. No, we're joking, everyone. No, not funny.
Yeah, no, not funny whatsoever.
These show notes are pretty funny because I just read Asbestos-Laden Closet.
Yes, we're going to get to that.
You're
such a spoiler right now.
No, my eyes just keep going to all the interesting things.
I wrote really funny show notes.
You did. This week's are winning. Yeah,
it'll be even funnier when we actually talk about
yes,
them.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to let you keep going now that we've talked about websites.
Alrighty. So yeah, we did the, hdhpc.com. Also not a plug, but hdhpc.com. Go to it. Read it.
hdhpc.com.
hdhpc.com. Okay.
HDHPC.com. Anyways,
okay, so let's talk PowerShell now. Steve does PowerShell episode 3 in the endless series of PowerShell.
I don't know why, but I just really pictured you doing the hand gestures that they used to do in the PBS show Zoom.
Oh, wait, were there specific gestures or were they just kind of going like up and down?
Yeah. No, everyone had like their own.
Oh, yeah, I do vaguely remember that because I remember what the intro sounds like. I just don't remember what they physically did.
But for some reason, when you said Steve does PowerShell, I just like picture you wearing like a neon green shirt and having an intro. Hi, I'm Steve. And like,
hey,
you
I'm Steve, some. And this is PowerShell 7.
Yeah.
Seven.
Yeah. Okay.
So PowerShell. Maybe I'll try to make this quick because it's kind of it's a continuation on previous topics on functions and how to tie the room together of PowerShell per se. So what I want to talk about is how to make a PowerShell module. So what is a PowerShell module in essence? It actually isn't all that exciting. A PowerShell module is basically just a collection of functions in a single file that you then place somewhere on a computer that PowerShell then looks for and reads and preloads into your PowerShell Windows session. And that's literally it. So if you are at a point where you've made a bunch of functions and you have listened to my previous segments here on Hope This Helps about making PowerShell functions and advanced functions and properly documenting, and you have them all in various places on your hard drive and files, and you would like to centralize them and kind of put them in a book of sorts, and then publish that book to a library where that library can be read and consumed and distributed by everyone who wants to use PowerShell. A PowerShell module is how you do it. So to get started, open up your IDE of choice. I prefer Visual Studio Code. And
agreed.
You open up just any old blank file. Start dumping your functions in. Literally just just the whole function, start to finish, and just keep at the bottom of the file, you can just keep adding more and more and more until you're done. Then you slam that file menu down, you hit save as, and you save the file as a PSM1 file. That is a Windows PowerShell module file. Save that somewhere on your hard drive, make a folder, drop that PSM1 into that folder. Make sure the folder is named the same as your module name. That would just make things a little bit less complicated in general. And then you can move that folder either into a user-based PowerShell modules directory or the system PowerShell module directory. And once you do that, the PowerShell module will be available to you to import either automatically or autonomously or manually, whichever you prefer. And once that is done, you're basically done. You can copy that to another computer or do anything. I'll include show notes as to what those directories are. I'm sorry for not saying them off the top of my head. I just can't remember them on the spot like this. But that is basically how you make a PowerShell module. It is kind of the capstone of your adventure in making PowerShell functions and modularizing your code and making it portable and reusable. And that's basically it. PowerShell modules.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
And he could make a blog post about it too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because
I just started getting into functions. Why I had never done that before, I'm now very excited about it.
Yes, functions are the first step to modules. Once you master your functions, you can then make a module. And a module doesn't have to be big. A module could actually just be one function if you really wanted it to be. But the nice part is you can then just keep adding on to it and expanding it without having to reinvent the wheel most times.
Hold the phone. Did I just create a module then? Because that's what I've been doing.
Did you make a PSM1 file where you're just dumping functions
yes.
into it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations. You made a module.
Yay. I do learn.
Yeah. See, there you go. We're learning on this podcast. We're learning together.
We are learning together every day.
Wonderful. Every single day we're learning something.
It's very true. We learn a lot.
Yes. Anyway, so that's it. Yeah, I didn't want to go on for too long, and I don't think I have. So yes, PowerShell modules. They're fun. So it looks like we have a sponsor this week. And so hope this helps this week is helped by Squarespace. Not Squarespace, Squarespace. Just learn HTML and build it yourself, you lazy f***. It's not that hard. Just learn HTML. Come on. Just go to W3 schools. Don't be a fool and use those tools. Just make a website in HTML5 and don't be a scrub. Squarespace. And we don't have an offer code because I'm not giving you one. Just learn it. It's HTML. Make your own website. We did. Go to our website at hthpc.com. That's our sponsor this week. It's us at Squarespace. So I don't know if I wanted to frame this next section as a game or a recurring segment, but I didn't really want to also make it an ask help this helps portion either, because I think it kind of just had static answers. But I think what we wanted to maybe talk about is, what is the worst place you can have a server or wiring closet? There's definitely a lot.
A woman's bathroom.
Yes. So the ones that I put in the show notes are actually real life places that, in places I've worked, there have been wiring closets. So as a not woman, It's kind of awkward when the wiring closet is placed in the women's bathroom. And I'm not talking like on the way to the women's bathroom. I'm talking like in the women's bathroom, like just right there, just off to the nook across from the stalls. And it's just not a great place to be in when you have to do something to do something in there. You have to kind of get clearance. You have to ensure the room is empty. You have to put like a sign out. And then all the while, like, folks are like, what is going on? Like, you're not a janitor. Why are you going in there to do stuff? It's a women's bathroom. But, yep, please, if you're designing a wiring closet, don't put it in a women's bathroom. It'll just save everyone the trouble. I think another one is a laundry chute. Also a real-life one that I've experienced. It was in an old building where it was a former laundry chute that ended up being retrofitted, where all the holes where the laundry would go into the chute part of the chute was, they were all welded shut, but you just still had the column shaft down the central part of the building. But turns out that's a good place to run wires, because it's just kind of a area where everything converges down into a single switch or routing destination. So it's kind of a smelly, gross, dank area that also ended up in the janitor's closet. But you also had to kind of scale up some really old, like 50-year-old gross stone composition to get to the switch in question, which then was covered in dirt and cobwebs and spider webs and all that fun stuff. So laundry chutes are another not so great place to put wiring closets. And then of course you have your classic asbestos laden closets, where the building may or may not at one point in its life had been totally, you know, insulated with asbestos, including ceiling tiles that were coated in it. And while most of the building had been fumigated and formally cleared out, some areas still remained. And it really sucks when all the wires are going through a ceiling tile that was still coated, but the ceiling tile couldn't be removed because it was still a production system that had never gone down, and it couldn't be replaced. So not the greatest position to be in.
Yeah, no, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. And then last one was the basement of a dorm where it was a laundry room, and the room had flooded several times, but... Yeah, it's... Just laundry, smelly water, and, of course, core network infrastructure. Just all right there.
Yeah.
And it was separated by this just wood wall with literally just a padlocked door, very redneck style. But that was separating the laundry room from the wiring closet, so not the greatest security either.
No.
But yeah, that's my top four, and all four real-life things that I've experienced, so...
I recently just went into a closet of a closet. It was actually a closet that then led to a closet, then led to a closet, which had only, no joke, two servers in it.
So it was just like an Alice in Wonderland of closets?
Yeah, it was closet inception.
Wow.
At its finest. Unnecessary. It was just unnecessarily taking up space, and then it was the tiniest little rack ever.
Of course. That's always how it is. It's always like you have to go to extreme lengths to physically get to this thing, and then when you get there, it's like maybe one blade of an HP switch chassis or something.
And then there was the actual area that had just switches laying out as the lab network.
Just.
And I was like, ooh.
Just kind of sitting out.
Well, yeah, so they have these long tables, and they just have switches just down the line. And I was like, why did we do it like that? And the answer was to make it easier for the lab techs to unplug and plug back in all day long. And I'm like, but the switches are just wide open.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I've worked at places where, you know, instead of properly racking it, it's just like sprawled out across a table.
Yeah.
And by the time you do want to fix it, you can't because other stuff has been stacked on top of it and the wires are all tangled and just in a big old rat's nest. It's like, no, it's easier to maintain and plug and unplug. It's like, no, you're just making it a whole lot worse. We put things in racks for a reason.
Right. And we're talking like these giant diagnostic machines. So they take up the entire table, and then you have the switch, which is also taking up the entire table. Ugh. It's like, this could be done better.
Bad wiring. Just when you're wiring and setting up a server, closet, room, whatever, just please set it up regular. Don't do it. Don't get cute with it. Don't get fancy with it. Just set it up normal, just like every other server room, proper server room should. Anyways, yeah, those, I don't know if they're the worst places, but they're certainly bad examples that I've experienced in real life.
Yeah, no, it's people.
So remote meetings. We're definitely doing a lot of them lately. I've done more of them this week than I think I've ever done in my entire life at this point. I've become a real aficionado with Zoom and Teams and Ring Central or whatever you name the remote work thing, and I've probably already done it so far in the past 10 days.
I'm still using Skype for Business.
Oh, Skype for Business. Does that like actually handle video chat for more than like two people?
So we don't video chat.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No. No one wants to really see what each other looks like.
You're lucky. We've gone full video.
When we forget what everyone looks like, I think then it'll just be like, oh, look, new coworkers. No, I'm kidding. We do talk every day. Oh, but
I wish I remember the quote. There was a friend of mine. His coworker said something. They were all doing video, and this one coworker refused to turn his video on. I forget what it was, but it was like, you guys know what I look like. I don't need to turn the video on. I forget what the
act. Well, what if they forgot?
No, he just... Oh, if they forgot what he looked like?
No.
Or if he just forgot. He's like, no, I just don't have a webcam. I think what I would say, I'd be like, you want to see me? Go look at my arrest records. That would shut everyone up. And they'd be like, maybe we don't want to see you.
Just Google my name. Yeah. I also realized that if I didn't have my Surface as my personal device, I would not have a webcam. So I've been doing a lot of like workouts via the conference calling, which I helps sort of makes me feel like I'm talking to people.
Yeah, that's always good.
But I don't like using my work laptop for anything that's not work.
Right.
So I luckily realized that I had my Surface because I was like, oh, my desktop would make me the most antisocial human being ever because who buys external webcams anymore?
I did.
Well, no, I mean, if you have to, you would, but it's not something you think about.
Yeah, I do have an external webcam and I didn't buy it for work. I've had it for years now. I mean, before I've had an external webcam ever since like 2009 in some capacity. It wasn't crappy. It was good for its time. I had a standard def Logitech external webcam back before webcams were really a feature on laptops, and it was considered a really good webcam back then. I used it all the way up till about 2013, 2014, where I upgraded to an HD version of basically the same spiritual line of webcam products from Logitech. And that's the one that I'm using in conference calls today. I think it was this Logitech C910 or the C920. I forget which one it is. It's the one that contains its processor on the webcam itself. So it's not relying on the actual computer to perform the HD processing. It's actually done inside the webcam itself. So you could plug it into a weaker computer and you're not going to tank the CPU by offloading all that HD decoding and encoding to the CPU on the computer. Rather, it's done inside the webcam itself, inside a microprocessor.
That is way better.
Yeah, and I think that was precisely why I decided to buy that, because at the time I didn't my laptop was getting a little old and it was having trouble keeping up with HD video. So I was like, if I'm going to have a webcam that does HD and I know my laptop is not going to be capable of processing that HD fully, I want to make sure the webcam can pick up the slack. So it does, and that's the webcam I've got now, and I use that in all my meetings.
That's the way to do it. So your image is probably the best.
Yeah, I look good and I sound good in my meetings, and it's so I do use this podcast mic in meetings, and it's gotten a surprisingly critically nice reception. Like, everyone's always saying like, oh my god, we love meetings with Steve in them because he sounds so good. And, you know, I'm not doing anything really special. I'm not like tweaking the settings. I'm just plugging this in and using it. But I
almost wonder how much of it is also the fact that we've been practicing conversations via digitally for 10 weeks now.
Yeah. So we've been kind of prepping for this doomsday of working from home and working remotely. And so I guess we're a little bit good at being social on the internet in some way in real time.
We are never ahead of the curve.
Except in this one odd case.
Right, where now you just sound like you're a radio host.
I've also been asked if the microphone I have is a quote ASMR mic. And I said, I guess it's used for ASMR, but it's not particularly marketed as an ASMR mic. It's just a Blue Yeti, and it just sounds better than a built-in webcam microphone.
hold on, wait, what?
The Blue Yeti sounds a little bit better than an integrated webcam microphone. Or
oh, I'm just saying, like, but an ASMR mic?
It's an ASMR mic.
Yeah.
I just use it for this all day.
This is how we have our conversations in real life.
Today's meeting will be entirely whispered.
You can listen to us talk about Microsoft whispering.
These are the outstanding issues of the day.
I think we have a new segment now.
Yeah, just this week from the ASMR conference call.
These are the incidents that Microsoft has reported.
These are the critical things we need to get done today. Above all else, synergy.
Collaboration.
We really should circle back on this.
I think we're on to something.
Yes. Should tell every
okay.
Every project manager should speak in ASMR in their meetings.
Yes. Yeah, because I think we just have now gotten everyone's attention. You should share this with everyone and be like, hey, guys, fast forward to an hour.
I know it.
About an hour in.
Yeah, go to about 50, 57 odd minutes and just listen. I'm gonna drop you some knowledge.
I do think we need a segment now where we do go over just a quick reading of the week's incidents.
in
ASMR.
In the language of the ASMRs.
The ASMRDs.
ASMRDs. Now you're a real ASMRD.
You're an ASMRD.
ASMRD.
It'll be the weekly fails, but it'll be the ASMRDs. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, you said you use Skype for Business for for ASMR video calls, right?
Right.
So
this is how they sound.
Yeah. Are you sure it's not just the quality of Skype for Business?
Hold on. No, this is more of the sound of Skype for Business.
Oh.
Hello, Steve.
Hello. Hello.
Steve, can you hear me?
No, I can't.
I think I'm swimming in the ocean.
Oh, you sound like a buzzsaw. What's going on? Oh, Jesus. So, well, all right. So I guess I have a new product to rank in my following list of video conferencing solutions. I guess we'll put Skype for Business at the bottom. But we've been bobbing between Microsoft Teams and RingCentral Meetings, which is basically just Zoom. It's the same company, same underlying engine. And so I am happy to report that RingCentral Meetings actually is the better of the two for video conferencing, especially when you get greater than four people in a room. Because Teams is doing this really, really dumb thing where I just want to view everybody equally in the same size in like a Brady Bunch grid on my screen. I want to be able to see everyone simultaneously and equally as possible. Teams doesn't let me do that. It just seems to give me no options for displaying people other than if you have greater than four people, you're just going to get a random ticker of the most recent people who have spoken on the mic and it will try to emphasize them first. But that way you can't really, if you're not speaking, you can't really tell if you're on someone's screen or not. So if you're just trying to like communicate non-verbally or use gestures or something because you don't want to talk over somebody else, you can't tell in Teams if you're going to be even seen. So that really bothers me.
Just once in a while, whisper.
Just once in a while, I want to communicate in some alternative fashion.
That's... Anyway.
Maybe smoke signals. Semaphore flags. Holding up my cat. I don't know. Something like that. But, so... But... RingCentral Meetings so far has impressed me because it does give you the option to do a grid view, just size everyone the same and just show an infinite amount of people in the same window. But Teams apparently just doesn't have that option, and there was one user voice on it, and they basically amounted to, yeah, we're kind of thinking about it, but it's clearly not something they're prioritizing. So RingCentral Meetings definitely works better than Teams if possible. The only problem is when it works, RingCentral and Zoom have really been having problems just kind of staying up lately, to the point where they're actually starting to bump off features from the free tier and end meetings after 40 minutes.
Oh no, meeting done.
Yeah, and I think that should just be a feature across any online video conferencing tenant anyway. If you're having a meeting that's going longer than 40 minutes, just cut it off. Just be like, nope, sorry, meeting done. You guys have been on for way too long.
I just think that's excellent rate control.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Why make that just a free feature? Make that just a mandatory feature for everybody.
That should be the mandatory feature. You've been talking for too long.
Yeah, sorry. Bloop, you're done.
It's like when you used to call collect back in the day, and after like a certain amount of time, it would just beep.
It would just...
Or when you had like a calling card, it would beep after a certain period of time.
Oh, yeah, the old days. Yeah, why can't we just bring that back? It worked back then. We'll just do it now.
Yeah, you should be able to like put in a calling card amount of time.
All of our agents are busy with other customers. Please continue to hold.
Your call is important to us. It'll be answered in the order in which it was received.
There's 3,500.
Yes. So find a new meeting.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, I've also noticed that Zoom also has been just having some problems where meetings just won't start, or the organizer will attempt to start the meeting and it just never begins, and then you have a bunch of people just confused as to what's going on. So they've been having some scalability problems with the work from home apocalypse going on. Teams works, but Teams, I've noticed, you know, the aforementioned problem with seeing people, and it seems just bandwidth in Teams seems to be a little worse. Frame rates on cameras seem to be worse than RingCentral. So there's clearly some kind of either load balancing that's not happening, or it's being pushed to the host of the call, or it's just not done as well as RingCentral. So, and Teams also commandeers your chat window when you're in a video call as well, which is really annoying, because if I'm getting other messages, I can't do a multi-window. It's all in one single window.
Pop-out is coming soon, though.
Oh, it is? April. It is? So.
Yeah, yep.
Well, yeah, it'll probably come soon to non-EDU, and EDU, I'll probably see it next year.
That is correct.
That's the one problem.
Probably. No, I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But we will include it in the show notes, or I will create a blog about it.
Yeah.
Let me make a note.
Yeah. I want to get the custom backgrounds feature soon, though. That would be cool, because I know you could do the blur, but I'd like to just do green screen backgrounds and just do wacky, crazy pictures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
Like Jeff Snover on Twitter, he's been having a whole lot of fun with all that kind of stuff.
I know. He's making everyone envious.
Yeah. He gets access to all the pre-release fun stuff that may or may not be coming to everybody else someday. So yeah, that's my showdown of video conferencing products. There's also been talk of, you know, what to do. You know, you have, if you're going to have video meetings, you kind of make it kind of fun. Like, just if you're going to have like a weekly or a daily meeting, just like randomly just like show up in a full suit or something, you know, just to try to upstage all your coworkers, where you're just like, you know, I bet half of you aren't even wearing pants right now kind of thing. You just come in, just go, all right, let's talk business.
But no one would be wearing pants. Sorry. I was in La La Land and then you said no pants.
Of course. That's how to summon Tiff. I'm just going to say no pants. That's
that is accurate.
Yeah. We'll call the episode No Pants.
As we should.
Yes. That's and especially if like, you know, you're going to have a meeting with like important people, you should just, I know this sounds really cheesy and not really lame, but like if you try to, like, even if you're just doing it as a joke, just suddenly just like take it up like 10 notches and you just like dress up like fully for a meeting on video, it kind of does look impressive. And combine that with the equipment. If you can out mic your coworkers with a good microphone and video setup, especially with like a real good office setup, and you make it look really professional, it does look good. You can kind of use the work from home opportunity to really make yourself stand out, as opposed to whatever you were doing before. Kind of gives you
nope.
A nice...
I want a WWE wrestling entry. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do you know what The Rock is cooking? Or like the Shawn Michaels one?
Do
you smell what The Rock is cooking? Sorry, I can't English today.
Have you seen, did you watch, it's been clipped up on Twitter. There was the WWE this past week where they just hosted it in an empty arena, but it was Rob Gronkowski's first time as a WWE host and wrestler. And
is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, and Gronk's intro was cut out of it, and he does this crazy dance. It's like you want that as your video conferencing intro.
I think that the intros from the 90s for wrestling, back when it was the WWF.
It was the WWF and the NWO and the WCW.
Yeah. And those have the best intros.
Yeah. Like, I remember, so I'm not a wrestling fan. I know next to nothing about it other than just like maybe what they were called in the 90s. But I remember playing like WWF Attitude on the N64.
That game was so good.
Or like NWO No Mercy or WCW something. Like, I just remember those, you know, you didn't have to be a fan of wrestling just to mash buttons in those games. But
no, there was no skill to those at all.
Yeah. But because I have good memories of just being in a summer camp in a cabin, just we were just crowded around like a 15-inch CRT just playing that.
Oh, yeah. The metal cage battles. I don't know what they're called. I also don't know anything about wrestling.
I think it was called Hell in a Cell, maybe.
Something like that. I just know that you often get a metal chair, you're stuck in a cage, and you're beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
stuck. That is how I feel right now. I feel like I'm in a steel cage match with metal chairs.
And it's just not ending, and you just keep getting hit by the chair over and over.
Yeah,
and over.
I just keep getting bashed in the head over and over again. That is like COVID-19.
And you're staring at the ref going, what the hell? Like, what?
Right, help me.
Like I'm done, I'm out, and the ref's just like, nah, we can keep going.
That's why we need to follow Dwayne Johnson and see how he's doing through all of this. Yes. Because if he's doing okay, we know.
Yeah. So if the Undertaker is in trouble, we're in trouble.
He's like the Ozzy Osbourne of wrestling.
Yeah. He just never dies. Or Triple H. No. Or Triple H. He's a local.
Triple H. A local man.
He's a local man from our area.
Yeah.
If he goes, we're really screwed.
Our knowledge of random history. I love how I just considered wrestling history.
It's like our, yeah. I guess it's history in some capacity. It's events that happened in the past.
It's as real as it can get, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
It was on live TV.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. We are now rambling. Welcome to Rambletown.
Yeah. We were talking about, so we somehow got to hear from video chat. So,
I was just talking about wrestling intros.
Oh, yes. Wrestling intros for video chats. Yeah, you need to have, like, your own intro video in a video chat. Like, before it comes on.
Oh, that would be so good.
Instead of just, like, instead of it just flipping on to, like, your face, and you're like, ugh. And it's like, no, like, give me, like, a nice faded intro saying, like, and now, introducing
Skelly.
Me.
And then you, like, what would be your theme song?
Oh, I don't know. It's like when a batter comes up to the plate in baseball. Like, what is the music that plays? I feel like I would spend way too much time just trying to figure out what song would even be playing at that point.
No, I honestly think your song would be Two Tone Army. For some reason, we're like Henry and June.
I'd be okay with that. Two Tone Army it. Just kablam theme it.
I was honestly thinking Take On Me, and then I was like, wait, hold on. Two-Tone Army and Take On Me kind of sound alike.
A little bit, but Two-Tone Army is a bit more, it's a little more energetic. Kind of Take On Me kind of takes a little time to ramp up.
It does, but you want something that's going to punch you in the face.
You need something that's punchy and hits hard and fast, and Two-Tone Army is going to do that better than Take On Me will.
Yeah, so do we just wear 3-piece suits and just skank the whole time?
Yeah, we could. Just skank it up.
Like Blues Brothers style.
Yeah. That or the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, one of those.
Yes, The Impression That I Get would also be a great one. We played that in marching band my senior year, and it was the only song we played over and over again because my band director thought it was funny that we all love that song so much.
I thought of another song by a Real Big Fish. It was like another FU song, and just the beginning of it.
Sellout would also be excellent.
Yes. Okay, now, I think most ska songs would be good intro songs, actually.
I think that's very fitting for us.
Yes. But yeah, there needs to be intro videos and video calls need to be a thing. That needs to be.
Right.
I want Microsoft Zoom, anyone who listens to this, I want you, this is my assignment to you. Please do this. We need it. America needs it.
I almost think we need to make a ska song about video chatting and social distancing.
Yes. And all the tropes. It's like everybody mute your mics, and you hear like arguing in the background for or kids yelling or dogs barking and
everyone's doing the swish.
It's like pro tip.
Yeah.
Everybody's eating on mic.
Everyone's eating their chips.
Everybody's eating their chips.
Yeah.
Everyone's arguing with their spouses. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's so bad now being home, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
See, I could really do it. Yeah. I have parody songs for days. Yes. No one wants to be like me because I will stop now. Because one, no one wants to hear me sing. Two, no one wants to hear me sing.
It's all good.
But no, I think we have to do this now.
Yes. We could definitely come up with something maybe
about chatting.
Yes,
about video chatting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other thing it's funny. We did this once. We did this once as an org, and now suddenly I drove around today in my car, literally just around the neighborhood, just to get a feel for being outside again or outside the house. I didn't go anywhere. I just drove in a circle to kind of make sure my car was A, still working after a week of not being driven, and B, just be outside for a little bit. And I was listening to some podcasts in like the 15 minutes I was out, and everyone online is now talking about video chat happy hours with your org, where you literally just get on camera and drink like you've gone to a bar, except you're at home. And that's nice. We did it once, and it's actually surprisingly fun. But yeah, that's another thing that places should do. Just schedule it. Or just having just like open mic video rooms, where it's like kind of just an open Skype or just an open call, where it's just kind of drop in, drop out, kind of like, you know, it's as if you were working in a cube and you just wanted to just have an open social area. But the nice thing about working remotely is you can then mute your mic or drop out, and without having to, you know, physically still linger. Man, I was reading this list in an order, and then I got completely out of order on it.
You said linger, and for some reason I thought of the Cranberries.
We were watching Click last night, and that song is in the movie. It was like the first Kiss song. It was like, and then Adam Sandler's like, "Oh, it was Linger by the Cranberries," and he had to use the remote to actually.
Hold on, is that your Adam Sandler? You're from New Hampshire, and that is your Adam Sandler impression.
Yeah, it sometimes sounds better or worse. I know I live in the same state as Adam Sandler, but I don't sound like him at all.
No, that was a really good.
New Hampshire is a big state.
No, it's not.
Shut up. Yes, it is.
We have eaten in the place that he has also eaten at multiple times.
Yes. My favorite line from Click is when at the beginning of the movie, like the kid goes, "My father's stereo in this car is a Bose." And he goes, "What? Your father's stereo blows?" And anytime I see Bose, I just think, "What? Your stereo blows?"
Your stereo blows.
That and going into Bed Bath & Beyond. I can't take Bed Bath & Beyond
you
seriously.
Can't, no, you can't take it seriously.
You walk around, I'm looking for Beyond and The Way Beyond and Christopher Walken. Click is a good movie. It's.
I haven't seen it in a super long time.
I hadn't either.
I think I should get on that.
Because I remember the last time I saw it, I thought it was just okay. And then I watched it, and I remembered it was above average. It was like, you know, it was watchable. And then I watched it again. I was like, this is actually really, like, this is pretty good. Like, most Adam Sandler movies are kind of trash, but this one is definitely on the much better side. Mm-hmm. I got to go hunt out, like, there's also apparently other good Adam Sandler movies. I got to go hunt them down.
Is this what you're learning?
Yes. This is
during this trip.
Is
that there are other good Adam Sandler
this
songs?
This is what I've been reduced to. I'm looking for good Adam Sandler movies.
So if anyone has suggestions on good Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, and don't say grown-ups are grown-ups too, because I will punch you over the internet. Yeah, I think I'm done with talking about working with video chat stuff for now. I was going to also say, if your work is gaming savvy, set up a Minecraft server where you can just kind of just screw around, like in a virtual environment where you can just kind of do whatever. Because Minecraft can be kind of fun if you get enough people who know how to use it or play it.
It makes me motion sick.
Really?
Yeah.
Just on the standard PC or console?
Yes.
I think there's FOV controls you can adjust for it. That's another thing that Minecraft, I think, has options for. Because motion sickness can be attributed to the FOV settings in a lot of FPS games. So maybe play around with that if it makes you motion sick.
That is actually, honestly, the reason why I can't play it is the FOV setting.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe play with that, and that might fix your problem.
All right, so Minecraft.
Yeah, Minecraft. That's it would be cool if like your workplace could, you know, could figure it out, but you know, gaming knowledge amongst folks is kind of, your mileage may vary.
Or just make friends.
Yeah, or make friends. Either one.
Or you can crash your old coworkers' happy hour.
That too, yeah. I mean, if it's just a public meeting ID, you could always just paste it to them and be like, "What up?"
Right. What up?
Surprise guest appearance.
Right. Invited myself. That's what I would do in real life.
Yeah.
We've been talking for an hour and 18 minutes.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I just looked at that too. I was like, wow, man, is this the longest episode ever? It might be.
It's an episode that never ends. Mm.
Well, I think it does end, but
it has not ended yet.
Just like this week and this working from home stint that we're
in. It's only Wednesday.
I think it's only been about 2 weeks we've been in this era, and it feels like much longer. I keep thinking tomorrow's Friday and it's not.
I do too.
It's not a great feeling. Can it just be Friday?
I honestly might just start playing Rebecca Black's Friday repeatedly just to make myself feel better.
Yes.
It's Friday, getting down with Friday.
It'll be Friday soon, eventually. Or maybe every day is Friday.
That's right. That's what I mean. I'm going to set that as my alarm sound.
Yes.
So when I wake up in the morning, I will think it's Friday every day.
Sounds like a plan.
This is the most brilliant idea I've ever had.
Yeah, this is up there with like the invention of the wheel and fire and Microsoft Exchange forwarding.
Yes. Set Rebecca Black's Friday as your alarm song, so every day you wake up, you think it's Friday. And then when you have your...
So is this like a Groundhog Day situation where you go where the alarm clock goes off and it's the same song over and over?
Yeah. But then the disappointment hits when you realize it's not Friday anymore.
Yeah.
But at least it gets you up thinking it's Friday.
Yes. Oh, okay. So I'm out of words. What are we doing?
We're asking how are you coping with the loss of listening to your podcast in the car?
Yeah, do you have like the anxiety I do of like your podcast app, which is automatically downloading podcasts, just piling up with your to-do list of things to listen to, and now like your queue says it has like 35 hours of podcasts to listen to because you don't drive to work anymore to listen to this stuff? Because
I saw a thing that was like, oh, you know, reenact like your real life, and I was like, so do I just go sit in my car for an hour?
Right. And I've had this problem too where the problem is the weather's been so crappy around here, because I'll listen to podcasts in like two unique situations: when I'm running or when I'm driving. And I can't drive to work right now, and the one time I drove yesterday was just literally just to get out of the house and run my car, and it was just around the neighborhood, so it was only like 15 minutes of listening, which wasn't, you know, didn't really make a dent in the queue. And I can't really listen to podcasts while I'm working, honestly, because I need I can't really do the thing where if it has lyrics or words, I can't focus on one or the other thing. Either my work suffers or the content I'm listening to suffers because I'm not paying attention to it.
Yeah.
I just can't do both. It's just not something my brain can do. My brain is single-threaded, single processing, unfortunately. So I was just wondering how other folks are coping with this, and that's our question of the week. It's like, what are you doing with the how are you getting podcasts, or are you even getting podcasts listened to during this time? There's one podcast I listened to in particular where he said his metrics just tanked with the COVID-19 outbreak. He said the downloads have tanked, and the download times have gone from consistent areas to just all over the place, and so it's clearly affecting other people too, and I think they clearly understand why a lot of people just listen while they're driving.
Yeah. Well, I think that's when people have their alone time.
Right. And it's also when you literally cannot do anything else but just drive and listen to something. You can't watch anything, you can only listen. So, yeah, it's a philosophical question, definitely.
Is which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yes. All right. So I think we've gotten through it all.
I think so too.
Yeah.
We made it
an hour and 20 odd minutes. I'm sure it will be a little less than that after editing and everything, but wow, this has been long.
Yes.
So, hope this helps. We have a website now. In case you haven't heard it earlier, it's hthpc.com. I'm just going to put that in the show notes and remove all the other links to all the other stuff, because now the website will just point to all that, and it's easier to say hthpc.com as opposed to twitter.com/blah blah blah and twitch.tv/blah blah blah.
hthpc.com,
http://, or https://, works, I discovered. Doesn't matter what it is. You can do the www, or you can not do the www. It'll get you there one way or another.
And we might have a ska song.
Maybe we'll have a ska song. I don't know. We'll see where that takes us.
Steven, we are doing it.
Okay. I guess we're doing it then.
No, I don't know. I can't tell them what to do.
So
anyways,
we have an iTunes, we have a yeah, we got all the stuff. Rate us on iTunes. It apparently gives us stuff if you rate us on iTunes. 5-star, 4-star, 3-star.
I don't care.
Just sure, if you want to do that, rate us on iTunes. It's
if you even want us to say your name out loud, we'll say your name out loud. Yeah. If you want us to figuratively do a dance for you, we would.
Yeah. You want a name drop? I'll do name drops. I'll say people's names. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say names all day.
Yeah. But yeah, we're rate us, visit website, do all the usual stuff, and don't die of COVID-19.
Nope. No dying. Nope.
Okay.
There's no crying in infrastructure.
There is not. Don't put the egg back in the chicken. Don't screw the pooch and pay your taxes. Stay indoors. Air your tires and listen.
Do all the stuff.
And be sure to be kind. Please rewind.
Yes.
Please advise.
Please advise. All right. It's time for us to stop this. I'm stopping.
We're done. Hope this helps. Bye.